Blog Talk Radio.
The talk show uplifting communities, Louisiana. And I'll tell you guys, we got a really good show for you guys today. But before I go any further, I would like to introduce your host to you, Mr. Tommy Ray Cole. Go ahead on, Tommy.
Hello, and welcome everybody to the Uplifting Communities Talk Show, Louisiana. We thank you all for listening in, calling in, and we're looking to hear your point of view and ask your questions today to our special guest, whom is my sister, Miss Anna Bellamy. And Anna, before we go any further, we would like to ask you at this moment to tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Anna Cole Bellamy. I'm from Lake Charles. I'm a widow, and matter of fact, this month is 8 years that my husband's been deceased, and he had a stroke, and then he had became Alzheimer's, and I became his caregiver, and I started doing caregiver work since I was about 10 years old. My grandmother used to take me with her to people that's house that was sick, and she would have me do things for them. And that was the beginning of doing caregiving work. I was young, and I have a passion for it. And it's in my spirit to do this kind of work. I love it. It's hard. It can be frustrating. But I've done this so long, till it wouldn't be me if I could not be myself and help others. It's hard work. It's nothing easy to do. But if you have love and you have compassion in your heart for others and the spirit in you, it's going to lift you up to do this work. So, Tommy, that's a little bit about myself.
Okay, great, great. And thank you for that, Anna. Thank you so much. Now, also, too, hey, we'd like to ask you, what are some of the good points of being a caregiver?
The good part is, like myself, it makes me feel good to be able to know that I'm doing work for the Lord, because that's God's work that I'm doing, you know. I really don't mind sacrificing myself to do it. And you know, I can't always do the things and go places and that I want to and be with family like I like to. But, you know, it's fulfilling to me. They may look at it as you know, I sacrificed myself, and I did, because this is what is fulfilling to me.
Right. Now, your husband, Joe, he had suffered a stroke, didn't he?
Yes. His name was Robert Bellamy. His name was Robert Bellamy. They called him Joe Lewis. Yes, he caught a stroke first, and then it turned into Alzheimer's. And it was hard. It was not an easy task for me. When he had the stroke first, that threw me in deep shock. But I had to still live. People didn't even know what I was going through, because I never let anybody know, and I wouldn't let nobody in. Because I wanted to make sure myself that he was taken care. Like, you know, it would have hurted me if I walked in somewhere and they were doing some harm to him. I don't know what it would have done me. So I took it upon myself to take care of him myself. And as a wife, that was my duty to take care of him. And I think I did the best I can until he passed. And the Lord came and called him home. So, and I did good with that. Then my dad is 96 years old, 95 years old, and he's with me now. He's living. Now I take care of my dad.
Wow. You know, I wanted to ask you a question, Anna. Now, you just mentioned about the ups that you have taking care of your father and your husband and stuff. What is some of the downfalls?
The downfalls is you can't go places. You can't do, and you cannot get people's help. Sometimes you feel all alone because if you need to go somewhere, and if you can call a family member, for instance, and they have things planned or they're doing something, they will not stop what they're doing to help you. Or in which it's okay because they have to live too. So you can't get upset and get mad because your sisters or brothers or whatever can't come and help you. Some will not stop their lives for other people. But I tell you what, I've always tried to just put it behind me and do what I can do. I don't worry about what somebody else do and don't do.
So sometimes it can be frustrating knowing that, you know, you can appreciate if somebody would come by and assist, but sometimes it seems like it's impossible. So I can imagine that has to get you frustrated at times.
Oh, yes, you get very frustrated. And not only that, you be depressed sometimes. You get depressed. You get frustrated. I mean, and that's okay if you get angry. It's okay if you get upset, you know, because that's part of life. But what
right.
you do is you try to stay uplifted as much as you can. Sometimes you got to get in a corner and pray and ask the Lord to bear a lot of this on him, not on you. And eventually, a lot of it, he going to show you a way to lighten things up. And that's what I had to do. Because I tried to do it all. I tried to make sure, I wanted to make sure that my dad and my husband was taken care of and they wouldn't have a blemish on them. And, you know, it's hard to do. But
right,
I learned.
Right, right.
I had
right,
to learn.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yes. Yeah.
I couldn't imagine, you know, how it is to take care of, you know, my father or my mother that I saw when I was a kid growing up, big and strong and healthy, you know, and then all of a sudden they either got Alzheimer's or their health is gone to where, and I got to take care of them. You know, that's a rough job.
Yes.
You know, and I'm quite sure, you know, that as many nights you prayed and probably saw your dad, you know, going through some stuff and you can't do nothing because, you know, that's just, but it hurts on the inside. You ever felt that hurt, you know, on the inside?
Oh, yes, all the time I feel that. But I've learned, I got a remedy. I have learned to not. I had to call in help. I had to get some kind of help. And what I did is I make visiting days. I have someone to come in 5 days a week. And I go visit him in the mornings. Then I stay away from him. I let them handle him. And I do the cooking and the washing and whatever. Then like that, I don't get so bored. I don't get so frustrated. I don't get so tired. Because I can come and lay down when I feel like it. I don't have to stay with him up all night long like I did before. It got to where it was just such a burden for me. Well, I thought, so the Lord opened the way, said, wait a minute, you don't have to do this alone. You've got other people who will help you. If family can't help you, they got other people. You don't have to depend on them. So what I did was just decide to pay people to come in and help me. It takes everything I got financial-wise. But you know what? I'm at peace with myself. I can come lay down while they taking care of Dad. And they love my dad. My dad got good, happy spirit. He's not mean. So they don't mind coming every day. They look forward to taking care of him with me. Yeah.
Right. So okay, we got a caller on the line. Would y'all mind if we let him in?
Oh, yes, let him in.
Okay, hold on. Hello, caller. State your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Miss J, and I'm calling from Jacksonville, Florida.
Hey, Miss J.
Hey.
This is Jay Allen. Hello.
Hello, Miss.
Hello, Miss J.
Hello, sis. How you doing?
Just fine.
Good. I was just trying to chime in on you guys' conversation because I am a caregiver for two people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm in that 50% bracket.
Mm.
And so one of them has dementia, which is my step-pops, and then I have his 95-year-old mother. So, and I wanted to chime in on a couple of things. As far as help, I think that varies from state to state, because here in the state of Florida, you look at their income, and both of them were city workers, so they left with some very nice pensions. So because of that, they don't help us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I want to make that – so it does vary from state to state, and the cost to have someone come in just to socialize is such a ridiculous rate that is just not beneficial in some cases. But I do have two of them that I take care of. And one of the things that I learned to do is make myself a priority, as she had mentioned. You have to consider when you make a to-do list, you must add yourself to that to-do list. You have to include yourself, even if nobody else does. And it is alarming that a lot of family members do not participate. They do quick drop-ins, what's going on, but they don't stay long enough to do nothing. And I learned that from being a part of a support group. And that's another thing, like she said, if you don't have family members that will help, then find a good support group in your area. I don't know, I say AARP because they have an outstanding program for caregivers. And it doesn't matter if you're a senior or not. I mean, a lot of people say AARP, you got to be old, but you don't. They have a great program for caregivers. They'll give you a list of groups in your area for support. They give you information. They give you free movie night if you're a caregiver. They give you just a whole bunch of nice perks that you would not normally get for free through that program. So if someone is, like, saying they need a break, they need to get out, I'm going to tell you, don't be afraid to get out of the house. And she's absolutely correct. You have to get out and take care of yourself. When I first started, I was not. I never intended to be a caregiver. I actually came to visit and saw a need, and then I said, well, let me help. So it was never in my intentions to stay. I got one suitcase. So I never intended to stay, but I saw a need to, help my family out. And but you have to take care of yourself as a caregiver because, believe it or not, the caregivers usually die before the people they're taking care of.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fact. Google it. So you really have to make sure you maintain not only a healthy self, but a healthy mental self.
Mm-hmm.
And if your mental self is not in a good shape, neither will your physical. They work hand in hand as a caregiver.
Yes,
there's indeed. You got to be up on, just so much that comes along with being a caregiver. And like she said, she's fortunate that she has somebody to come in and pay him attention. But my dad, he doesn't, with the Alzheimer's, he doesn't want a stranger in See, that's the difference. Like, if you got someone that doesn't have Alzheimer's or dementia, because he has early stage dementia, strangers coming in and out causes him to be agitated.
So
it depends on the type of elderly person you're taking care of. So for him, it has to be one of us or somebody he's familiar with, because they say, who are these people? They trying to come get me? You know, that's what he say, you know. He said, you know, you're trying to get rid of me, huh? You're trying to get rid of me. I said, you're so funny.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
you know, so it depends on who you're taking care of. And with the dementia, you really want to keep them at a place of peace.
You know, in
a place where they feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, my 95-year-old grandmother, she cool, you know, she don't care. She don't care who come pick her up. She going. But with my dad, he's very particular who he associate with and how many people are around him. If it's a lot of people, he has a tendency to get nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, Miss Anna, what Miss Jay is saying about, you know, you have experienced that your father, you know, get nervous when people come around.
Yes.
Or get irritated.
So he's gonna try to hide best he can.
Mm-hmm.
But what he do, I could tell by me being with him all the time. I could tell when he's getting frustrated, but he's not gonna say anything. My father has always been a happy type of fella. So, you know, he's not going to let you know that he don't like so-and-so to talking with him. He's not going to let you know you even a stranger. Because he come in, you can swear he knows you. He may not have seen you all his life. But he to him, it's a familiar face when it don't really be. Sometimes he be talking to people thinking it's somebody else.
That's so funny. My dad did it the other day, sis. See, somebody got off the phone, and he talked to the man forever. He got off the phone. He said, now, who was that again? I fell out laughing.
Yes.
An hour.
Sometimes my sister and my brother, my sister especially, could come and talk to him, and then when she leaves, he says, now, who was that?
Yeah.
And I'm going like, that's your cow, you know. But he doesn't remember. They want to hold conversations with him like they know.
Right.
You know, like
okay,
he knows everything.
One thing I wanted to ask, you know, and I'm, I think it's a legit question. Now, they say when a person get older or when they go into Alzheimer's, well, then they start turning back into a child. Now, you know, I wanted to ask that question. Is that true or false? And also I wanted to ask the question, let's say if they're hurting, or something. Can they actually tell you where they're hurting at?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, they can.
Yes, absolutely. And I don't know about turning back into a child. I don't know anything. I haven't seen that. I will say that I think when they make that statement, and she may be agreeing with me, they're more gentle. You know, when you're a kid, they're more innocent.
Yes.
I think that's what they're referring to. They don't actually start acting like a kid, but they go back to that innocence where, you know, when you become adults, sometimes you become rather rigid and, you know how you come when you're old. You know, you get, it's an innocence that they get. My father's very funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, they're very funny because they're
They can
so
be comical.
Innocent. Yes.
It can be comical.
Yes. Yes, because they get that innocence as that child's innocence. I think that's what they mean. But as you know, acting like a little kid or nothing like that.
No.
I don't think that's what they're speaking of.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you guys get them to? Like Anna mentioned, they're very comical. Okay, how do you get them to enjoy themselves?
Well, all I do, I just start telling jokes with my dad. Or either I bring back things that I know he like to talk about or discuss. And I'm going like, and that was his children, family, or things we did when we were young. You know, I don't try to make him remember things we're doing now. You know,
yeah.
I try to make things remember because that's what he knows.
Right.
So I don't try to tell him about other people or family and friends.
Right.
I don't do that.
Yeah, me either.
I don't do that.
That is just funny. He's
and
just
please
funny.
Don't
that's
tell him that somebody passed. Don't
yeah.
ever tell them that somebody passed. First of all, they really don't know who it is, and then you make them try to use their brains to remember, and that's hard on them.
Yes, it is.
It's hard on them. Because I can see, you know, when somebody come and say, well, Dad, you know, so-and-so died, and they go, you know, say, oh, I know you don't know who he's talking about because they don't have that in them. They don't know. Their mind is not there, but it's they know it's something bad. And that's going to make them feel depressed and bad. You
yeah,
just
I think
don't tell them.
It's a stage of dementia, too, because my dad remembers a lot. He's not that far gone. Matter his doctor is wondering why he isn't, but I think for me, I keep my daddy mentally busy, period.
That's right. Keep him. Mm-hmm.
I take him to the gym with me.
Oh.
He loves, like, Star Wars and cowboy movies, so I make sure he watches the things that he likes and he enjoys. Mm-hmm. I make sure that people come over and sit around and just talk to him like he's normal. I don't baby
right.
him
right.
in any form or fashion, but he really is not like, he knows phone numbers still. He still knows names and things like that. So he's not as far maybe as her dad is.
Right.
They thought he would be, but I am so proactive in keeping him mentally challenged that I think that has a big part of it. I also give him, I'm a herbalist. I love herbs. So I got memory herbs I give him sometimes, you know, to keep his brain, you know. I do a lot. I'm very proactive in preserving what he does have.
Mm-hmm. 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 And you know what? Family members that doesn't be around them all every day, they think they know that person.
Right.
You don't know what that person is like that day or where
right.
their mind is that day. So you can't come in and just say things that used to be all they doing. They don't know about that. And really, and I think in this time of their life, they don't need to worry about anything. I tell Dad every day, Daddy, you don't have to worry about one thing. All you got to do is worry about yourself to keep living. Other than that, and keep praying to God. Keep doing that, Dad. And he can say his prayers. And so, and matter of fact, on Sundays when they bring him communion, he says the prayers at the end. And he always have a good prayer for them. And I look at him and I say, thank you, Jesus, for the little that you do let him do. Thank you. My dad's not able to walk, and he can't get around, and I can't, you know, none of us can pick him up. So he normally stays in the bed. Every now and then I take him from the house and bring him to a friend of mine's house. We stay there, and he be saying he thinks that's his house. So, and I don't tell him no different. I don't tell him no different. So like that, he's happy. And I love to see him to be happy and smiling.
Okay, now with that said, look, I'd like to commend both of y'all for your work and your concern for family members, especially the elderly, because they need that help. But, you know, and
yes.
they need folk like you all, folk that love them, first of all, and have a passion to do this work.
Yes.
Now for myself, I wouldn't know how to assist one in that condition, because, you know, I've never been taught, and I don't think I'd be able to handle it. So my hat goes off to the both of you all, because, hey, I mean, I know it takes up all of your time. Miss J, I know you in California. You left California and gone back to Florida to take care of your loved ones. And, man, hey, you can't ask for anything better. Anna, you have been doing this for many years, like you say. My brother-in-law, your husband, you know, he passed, and then you're taking on our dad, and man, you're still working your caregiving, and man, I mean, hey, you can't beat that, and that's no specific word you can say for one that has dedicated their lives to others in this capacity. So man, I really commend you all. Thank you,
Brother Tommy. I appreciate that, yes, because I tell you, when somebody can say thank you for doing what you're doing for my dad, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
If family members say, come thank you, not come criticizing things that you do, come thank them and see, do you need something? If I can't help you, you know, with Dad, can I come wash his clothes? Can I feed him? Can I do something? You know, but you got to can't just come take over like you know what's going on because you don't.
Right.
And that's upsetting because it's upsetting to them because they don't really know you.
Right.
Yeah, that's really, you know, that's a valid point. But then also, I would just like to say for those who do not do anything, because I belong to a caregiver group, and I do a lot of writing for them. And it's a lot of ladies in my group that are on depression medication, just different type of anxiety medication because they get no help.
Right.
And they get no break.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like to just remind everybody that everybody's going to get a turn,
mm-hmm.
That you're going to need somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I just say just be conscious of that. Be conscious of the person that is willing to be selfless in taking on the burden because, you know, we got to be honest. It ain't all joy. So we got to be honest about that. It is like you get depressed, you get sad, you get lonely, you feel left out. You see everybody having a life and you feel like your life is over. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's a lot of things that come with being a caregiver. Yes, you're doing it from your heart, but you're still human.
That's right.
Yep.
And I think that everybody need to remember that the caregivers are still human. They still need to go out every once in a while. They still need to go get their feet done if they're girls, you know, or nails done. You know, just make them feel like they're still a person because what I've learned being the caregiver group is that a lot of women lose their identity. They forget who they are because they are so encompassed in taking care of somebody else, they lose themselves. So I just say as a family member, as a friend, you know somebody caregiving, every once in a while take them out to lunch or
yeah.
say, girl, you go, and I'm going to sit here while you go.
Yeah,
you know,
and you know what else is? Just like Tommy, my brother, he gave me the most beautiful card to thank me for what things that I'm doing for Dad. And
that's
heart-touching. That makes you feel good because
right.
you know you're doing something that you appreciate it in doing.
We only got 2 minutes left on the show. Okay, so I'm going to ask Tommy to start closing this out. And remember, Tommy, that we're going to finish and play that song at the end of, right before, you know, at the end of the show. Go ahead, Tommy.
It sounds good. Hey, look, we'd like to thank our special guest, Ms. Anna Bellamy, who is my sister. And Mrs. J, we thank you for calling in. Hey, we love you all. We love the work that you all are doing. We pray that you continue to do so. And, you know, it's not many things I can do in that area, but, hey, call me and whatever I can do, I will assist, and hopefully other folks look the same way. Like we'd like to thank our viewers for tuning in on the Uplifting Community Talk Show. Louisiana, we thank you so much, and we hope to hear from you next week. And also, Mr. John L. Brown is the founder of the Uplifting Community Talk Show, and also Mrs. J. hosts with him on Sundays, so be sure to listen to their show tomorrow. They also have a powerful show. Now, Anna, is there any positive thoughts you would love to leave us with at this moment?
Yes. Always remember to just continue on praying to the Lord to keep giving you strength and health. And also remember, whatever you're doing for the Lord. So he sees whether you do good or bad. So please love the people. Have compassion for people. Try to have a good spirit for them because they can sense it. You don't want them to be a burden. You don't want them to know you're a burden.
That's right.
All right. All right. And with that said, John, thank you all so much, and God bless.
Right.
All right.
Love y'all.
Love y'all, too.
All right. Thank you guys for joining in with the Uplifting Community Talk Show, Louisiana. That said, I'm telling you, this was the most powerful show that we had in a long time. And we'd thank our host, Mr. Tommy Ray Cole, and this guy here is powerful. And thank Miss Anna for coming on the show. show. With that said, I'm going to say good night to you guys, and y'all have the weekend. A blessing.
And look out for the elderly. All right. Good night.